Oh, thank you, Lord. Come on, give Him praise. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Jesus. God is so rich. Oh, I feel the presence of the Lord, man. Woo! Glory be to God. Glory be to God. You know, I was raised in churches, and you know, just because you have different denominations, and I was raised Baptist, and then, you know, went to the Pentecostal church, and then non-denominational churches, and my best friend was Lutheran, and a girl took me to the Church of Christ, and son of a buck, they can sing. They didn't have no instruments, but they did that four-part harmony. And then I did some Methodist revivals and Assembly of God, and you know, so I've been all of them. Was asked to come and do a little deal at a Catholic church, and been to some weddings and things like that. And when I sat down, they would stand up, and then they would repeat some things, and I wasn't ready to repeat it because I didn't know it, you know. And they kind of, you know, and so there's structure here, and there's orders over here, but being raised in a lot of them, sometimes because of some fear issues or whatever, maybe things that could get out of order in church, they didn't let the power of God really move. And so years ago, we were starting this church, and the Lord began to show me about, you know, just some things that He wanted to accomplish here. He began to share with me to trust Him and allow the power of God to move. And I think that's why you're seeing the things that you're seeing, and the crowds that are coming to a very basically younger church here, is because in these last days we need to allow the power of God, the gifts of the Spirit, to flow like never before. Because there might be someone in here that needs to be healed by the power of God in Jesus' name. Maybe you know someone that is fighting the variant COVID-19. Maybe you know somebody that's going through some tough times financially or whatever. And if we can't demonstrate the power of God, and we're afraid to let it be released in the church with maybe a word in tongues, you know, that I wasn't raised with, but I was tampered with later on. Or if you have been burnt in a church, or some preacher or some people in the church has done you an injustice or did you wrong, this is the time you've got to get over it and allow the power of God just to minister in your life. It's kind of like roping. Man, when you go down the road, and that's what I'm finishing it up. I fly to Pendleton, Oregon tomorrow. And you know, I'm a couple of thousand out of making the finals, but I'm going to make it. And I just declare that in Jesus' name. And but you have to remember, throughout a whole year of roping, and you know, I've submitted myself to God. Therefore, the Bible says He'll give me the desires of my heart. But listen to me, I have to go out and do it. God's not going to, you know, just miraculously with an angel put my loop on that horn and make my run be a good run and win money. I have to do it, and you do too. You have to live by faith. But one thing you learn out there is you have to have a very short memory, because if you remember what happened on the last run, it will affect the next run. See, this is a basic thing in the kingdom of God, that we have to live by the principles of God. And so, I want to, before I get into an offering message, I want to just welcome. And last week was a little bit chaotic because they called me immediately and said Howdy couldn't be there. And I, Rusty had told me he wasn't going to be there, and I knew Ricky wasn't there, and I was gone. And I was like, and then I remembered Alan, and I said, I got an idea. I said, Mom, call Alan, and then Rusty shows up anyway. And then Mom said, I apologize because I forgot to welcome visitors. So, if you were here last week and you were visiting, or if you're here this week and you've never been to Cowboy Church before, we're going to do a double honor and welcome for 2 weeks. And by the way, I'm going to welcome myself back. And we're just going to welcome. If you've never been to Cowboy Church before, it is an honor to have you. And we are just a down-to-earth church. We believe in the Bible from the front to the back. You're gonna notice here, you don't have to be a cowboy to come, but it's a bait for the Western world to think they can't come and fit in because they don't wear a suit and a tie, or maybe they just came off of work. Maybe, you know, they're going through some tough times in their life and they didn't feel worthy of being in any church. Well, you'll find out that a cowboy church is something that you can feel welcome. I'm not saying we don't have mistakes or things don't happen, but, you know, it just happens when you get a crowd together in anything. But one thing we do is we welcome people, and we want people to know that even though you pass several churches to get here, that is a pleasure to see you. It's an honor to have you here. And hopefully, if you don't have a church, this could be a church that you can plant in. I've always said it this way. Where you're planted is where you grow. If you're not planted here, you've got to find a Bible-believing church somewhere where you can plant. Because a good, fertile ground, when something's planted, it's going to grow and it's going to produce in Jesus' name. So, if you've never been to Cowboy Church before, last week or this week, we want to welcome you. All we need you to do, if you don't mind, is just raise your hand, let our crowd welcome you the right way. Any new people? Thank you. Honored to have you guys. Honored to have you. Thank you, guys. Thank you, sir. Honored to have you. Thank you, guys, back there. Wonderful. I appreciate you. Now, if you didn't get a visitor packet coming in, make sure you get one. Did everybody get one that raised your hand? It's a visitor packet, because what it is inside it, because you're going to have to open it up, there's a card, a visitor card, and a pen. And if you don't mind, just real fast, fill that out. Let us know that you came. We have someone call you one time, welcome you. But that's a great time to ask questions, how do we get started, or prayer requests. We always say that. We have a great intercessory prayer team that means a lot to me. Even though I don't see it and hear it, I know that they're praying for this service. They're praying for you. They're praying for me. And we need that today more than anything. So, again, church, would you welcome all the visitors, and appreciate you coming. Honored to have you. Now, go ahead, fellas. With the same excitement, I want you to clap your hands for tithes and offerings, please. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, I always try to remind people that 18 years ago when Jamie and I started this church with a camp meeting to just make sure that God wanted something around here. There had been a cowboy church a couple of years prior that for some reason ended. And how many of you know when God wants to start something, He'll send someone else if you don't follow through with what He wanted done. And He does that to all of us. He'll commission us in some way or instruct us, hey, I need you to do this. And it might be as little as just telling someone that Jesus loves them. And that's all you say. You don't have to preach to them. Well, a lot of times because of whatever issues, fear, you know, not wanting to be attacked, or then we don't do what God says. And if we don't do what He says, He'll send someone else to do what you should have done. And so, when we started this short church, after another church, and for whatever reason, ended, 2 years later, God sent me and Jamie. And we knew we were supposed to leave the church at Lubbock, turn it over to Pastor Ted and Jan Currington. We left them with $100,000 and about 200 or 300 people. And God told us to come in this area. We didn't know where we were supposed to be. We looked at some houses in Marble Falls, couldn't find anything we liked. Until the third, I think it was the first or second or third house that we looked at here. One of them, Jamie says, "I love it." And when she said those words, that was it. And we bought the house, River Ranch, High River Ranch, right over here, 5 miles away. Now we've sold it, and we moved 8 miles in Oatmeal, Bertram area. But in the midst of it, God said, "I want you to start this church, and I want you to not take a salary." Some people, when I told them that, the leaders that were being established in our church, they didn't know what to think. They're like, "You're not taking a salary?" And I said, "No, what I'm going to do is I'm going to believe, just like we're all supposed to believe, that God is the provider and He'll take care of His kid." And He's richly done that. And I know on the offering envelope you have, there's a place that you can give to us, but you don't have to. I mean, and some preachers have said, "Yeah, but what if you step on their toes and make them mad?" What, is He still the provider or not? You savvy. So, I went to the scripture in Proverbs, and I believe it's in chapter 19 of Proverbs. In verse 17, this is this is how you and I are supposed to actually live, by being givers. Now, we give a tithe, which is 10% to the Lord. Sometimes that messes a lot of people up, because if they have $1,000 and the tithe is 100, 10% of that, a lot of times because of spending, you know, and getting out of our means, it's like, "But I owe 2,000 and only have 1,000. And you're saying, Lord, you want 100 of it? Well, really, He's not needing the 100. He just needs the obedience. Because if you trust Him, He will supply the rest of it and more than that. But it's going to take some trust." Well, that's what it was for me and Jamie when we started this church. And so, listen to what God says in Proverbs chapter 19. "He who has pity on the poor," this is the Amplified, "lends to the Lord, and that which he has given, he will repay to him." Here's the principle that I want you to see this morning. If you give to the Lord, He's going to bless you back. I wrote this little statement down on my notes just a little bit ago. And this is what it says. God promises to bless us when we give. Now, it's not, a very, again, legalistic thing to give. And then, I'm only going to give this so I can receive it. No, all of it's done with the heart. And when you just have such a compassion for someone that needs it, or when we need to, everything we do here is debt-free, right? And yes, we're believing for the indoor arena, and God miraculously is bringing in people to give to that thing. Man, it's amazing. And then all of a sudden, the water, you need to buy water from us. I mean, you buy it from the store. The greatest water now, organic water, that can only be bought right here, right now. And it's fixing to explode, y'all. We have a social media team that is fixing to pop it. But I've been waiting patiently on just a couple more things to get in place, because this water is only found here, and it's organic rainwater. It's the most natural water you'll ever get. No toxins. There's nothing put in it, and it never touches the ground. So why wouldn't you buy water from right here? Okay, the point is everything that comes in here is going to go to building that arena, or to the kids' church. We're going to be doing some amazing things here, and we're going to get to do it debt-free. The Bible says in these last days that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. If you're born again, you're justified by faith. You're the just. All we've got to do is start learning this principle of when we give, the Lord will bless us back if we give with the right heart. So start being a giver, y'all. And watch what God does in your life. Oh, man. The blessing of God will come upon you. So in this bucket and in that bucket, I want you to come give with a big old shout of praise. And just thank you for all that you're doing here at Cowboy Church. Amen. Praise the Lord. While you're giving, just a couple of announcements that I want you to not forget about is on October the 16th, it's almost a month away. Matter of fact, today's the 12th. So just about 2 days, three, 4 days over a month, we're going to have a women's conference. And it's going to be right here. Listen, ladies. Doesn't matter, you know, you need to be here. When the ladies, and we'll have a men's conference as well, but this one is for the ladies. If you go online to our website, wccowboychurch.org, you'll find how you can register. I think it's $30 that are going to feed you. We've got three ministers coming, one of them being my wife. If you've never heard her speak, oh my. What a mighty woman of God that I'm so blessed with. Just the others that are coming, it's going to be a blessing of the Lord. But they're going to feed you. It's going to be a wonderful, impacted time. I think last year there were a few hundred here, and they're expecting a lot more this year. So I'm excited about that. So write that down. October the 16th, it starts at 9 a.m. It's on a Saturday, and we're going to have a really, really good time. And then on September the 19th, which is coming up, when is that, next week? We're going to have a fellowship dinner, and that's a great time for our church to bring a meal. I need you to see, I think it's Starla in this, and then Denise is going to be doing is in charge of the one-day budget workshop. But the 19th, I want you to bring a meal. Starla, would you just stand up so they can see you? Because it needs to be organized so we don't have 16 pecan pies and no meat. Don't miss next week after, because this is a meal that you can fellowship with, get to know people, and this is a great time for building relationships. And that's what this church is about. Is we need to build some relationships. Because in these days, we need to have someone we can call and say, hey, I need some agreement. I'm being attacked or whatever. And that's how you do it. Then right after that is a one-day budget workshop for beginners. And this is something that our church has wanted for people that have never put a budget together. They don't know how to handle money in a lot of ways. They're struggling in some areas. You're going to learn some great things. But here's the deal. The deadline to be a part of that, which will be right after the meal on next Sunday, is today. And so, Denise, would you stand up? Now wave your hand. I want you to see her and just say, hey, I want to be a part of that. And just ask her how it's going to work and go from there. And so it's going to be fun. So praise the Lord. After this service, we're going to take up one more time an offering for the Schrock family. He's really helped us with our air conditioning. He's done a rent house for me. I mean, just, and sadly, he lost his wife and daughter in a car wreck a couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, and it's devastating. They had a meal at our church, and then at one of the schools, they had a big service. And you know what? We need to help, because that's what we preach. And so after the service, we're gonna do that. Amen? All right, let's pray over these tithes and offerings. Father, thank you, Lord, for the people that gave, the ones that give, you know, online, the ones that give once a month, every week, twice. It doesn't matter, sir. What matters is we pray over it because it is seed going to you. And Father, the Bible says that when we give a tithe, that you'll open the windows of heaven and pour out the blessings so that we can't fit it all in the barn. When we give an offering, the Bible says you'll give it back to us, press it down, shake it together, run it over, and you'll give us a 30, 60, or 100-fold return on it. So, Father, when we learn the principles of sowing and reaping, I thank you, Father, that it will impact our lives in a positive way where we can get out of debt and we can owe no man but to love them. So, Father, thank you, Lord, for the givers. Thank you, Lord, for their obedience. Now bless them. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Glory be to God. All right. Youth group, you need something? God bless America. Is America here? All right, wait a minute, because when you do stuff like this, the people that are watching cannot hear you. So this is my microphone. Where's Mike? Did Mike leave? Okay. So I want you to sing God Bless America.
Okay, I'm going to sing. You know, when 9/11 happened, I was teaching choir at the Liberty Hill Junior High School, and there were 60 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. And they said, well, that ain't us. That's New York City. I said, y'all, that's us. Mm-hmm. That's us. And just so happened, we was working on a Veterans Day program. And they memorized every single patriotic song by heart. And that's gospel songs, y'all. And 60, 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, our little drummer, Corey, here, that goes to our church, played a cadence. And they marched into Mine Eyes Have Seen the Glory of the Coming of the Lord. And it changed those kids. It changed us. We got to understand it's by the grace of God we stand. By the grace of God we stand. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home.
Thank you, Lord. Thank Amen. You. Glory. All right. With that said, kids' church and youth group, you are dismissed out the back end with a big old shout of praise. Amen. I want you to get out your Bible, and we need to jump right into what I believe the Lord has instructed me to do. I'm going to be real patient because I don't want any distractions. If y'all are taking any kids, y'all jump back in here really fast because I don't want you to miss anything of what I believe the Lord has for us this morning. A lot of times when the Lord instructs me to do something, it's only for this group. Obviously, there's a lot of people that are watching live. And we welcome you as well. And I'm not going to turn off the camera. A lot of times there will be a time when the Lord says, turn your cameras off. This is a message for this group. But I believe this is a message for everyone. I believe America needs to hear what... I shouldn't say America. Really, I need to say believers. Because this is something that I believe that believers need to hear today more than any other time. The enemy is attacking a lot right now because we're in the end times. Would y'all agree with that? Say amen. And I know they've been talking about the end times for, you know, hundreds of years, but prophetically you can see it coming to pass now more than any other time. And I believe that God has given me a mandate, if nothing else, this morning to help us stand in these times. And this is not, listen to me carefully, this is not a message of guilt or condemnation in any way. But what it is a message of possibly a warning that you and I need to do just this. You ready? Live right. Living right. And the reason I say that is because our society has been dumbed down so much that a lot of times you cannot tell a Christian from a heathen. I mean, they sometimes act the same. Now, I'm not saying that you know, we don't make mistakes, but there are times when, you know, we talk just like them. And how many of you know that we are a people that are peculiar? You and I are different. We are set apart. And let me tell you what's happening is even people are leaving the church that's been here for a good while because of offense. Because, you know, instead of having compassion over someone else's faults, they're mean, they're rude, they're bullies, they're this. It's running them away when they should be running to Jesus even stronger. And so I believe God is wanting you and I to wake up and get our lives right with God. And there's different areas that hopefully, and now you may be perfect. You might be. Because we, you know, I'm not saying there's not issues in your life, but I think the enemy wants us to get off in lots of areas. And that's again why I've been preaching against the spirit of fear for a year and a half now. Because fear has taken over. You know, now our country is wanting to mandate vaccines. And I've always told you I'm not against the vaccine, but I'm against a government making us take the stuff. I've given you my opinion on a vaccine, and it needs to be left there because I'm not against them. I listened to podcasts of Kenneth Copeland's doctor, and if you have major issues, heart disease, lung disease, high blood pressure, you know, just different things that you're fighting in your body, then, you know, he wasn't saying don't take the thing. But if you're healthy, then by golly, your body was created by God to fight anything. Now that's why we've been in Psalms 91. Because Psalms 91, if you literally abide under the shadow of God Almighty, and you're dwelling in His secret place, His hiding place, and He's your refuge and your fortress, and all those things that we know Psalms 91 says, that no disease or sickness or plague shall come near your body. In these days, it's going to cause you to trust that and your protection more than a vaccine trying to protect you. Okay? And if that's what needs to help your faith, I'm not against that in any way, and I don't believe it's sin. Unless it's done in fear. Do not do anything in fear. Because fear is the opposite of faith. Okay? So, I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And as you turn there, let me pray over this word. And I want to pray over me. Y'all just be in agreement. Father, first of all, I'm led by your Spirit, sir, because I'm a son of you. And I need help. With communicating the message that I believe you have for me. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that this word is full of power. It can change our lives. It can help us in all areas. But Father, I come against the spirit that would the devil uses to bring guilt and condemnation on all of us, even a believer. Even making mistakes in life. The Word of God says that we are to forget those things that are behind us and press forward to the mark of the high calling. And forgetting things is forgetting sin that we've done in our past that are forgiven. that are under the grace of God, the mercy of God. That your Bible says, sir, that is our Bible. It's our truth. It's our word. It says that the truth will make us free. So this morning, I thank you, Lord, for clarity. I thank you for understanding. I thank you for the anointing on the Word of God that will change our life to help us in these days. And sir, we give you glory. We give you credit and all the power in Jesus' name. Would you agree with that? Now listen to 1 Peter, because again, hopefully you understood my opening in the fact that this message is not a message on guilt and condemnation, but it's a message that will help us be victors and not victims. That will help you and I not open the door. Remember when Ephesians says to give the enemy no place, give the devil no place? Because a lot of times when we get into fear or we get into offense, when we get into anger, when we get into what the Bible calls the works of the flesh, then what it does is it opens up a door to the enemy. I mean, think about something, you know, you've had a bad experience, someone has really hurt you. Well, when you hold a grudge against that person, how many of you know that opens the door to the enemy to come in there and do what John 10:10 says, steal, kill, and destroy. So in these days, I believe God not only wanted me as a mandate, praise God, to preach against the spirit of fear, but we also gotta start learning in a deeper way. How are you and I supposed to live out in a world that is full of fear, doubt, unbelief? And the only way to do it is to live by the power of God in Jesus' name. The excuses of riding the fence are no more. You cannot ride a fence, y'all, with one foot in the Word of God and the other foot out in the world's ways of doing things. There's got to be a time when we are set apart and we start acting differently, not holier than thou, not goody two-shoe, not better than someone, just under the power of the Spirit of God that can change our lives and then change everybody around us. Remember that story of Jesus preaching to the multitudes, and he was just going to go to the other side, and you know the storms came. But remember one of those storms, the Bible says when Jesus said, "Peace be still," that it calmed his ship and all the other little ships. When you walk in the power of God, when we walk under the presence of the Lord, and in that way, it's going to cause a calm to all those that are around you that are chaotic and in a mess. When all hell is breaking loose in someone's life, if you remain under the power of God, under the dunamis power, under the authority that God has given you as a believer in Jesus Christ, it's going to cause a calm to come on all the people that are around you, praise God. But you're going to have to live this stuff. We cannot be coming to church and living one way at church and in another way behind closed doors. So when God gave me this message, He reminded me of about the saying of Las Vegas. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Ah, your mama. Because that ain't true. What happens in Vegas is on social media. Like the next day or that night. So here's the title, if I was going to title this message. What you do in secret is not secret. Because God knows. How you talk at your home in front of your children, God hears it and knows it, even if the preacher don't know it. What you do and how you act when you're away from the church is not in secret. Someone is always seeing it, but more importantly, God sees it. And I'm trying to help our church and me. Because when I preach to me. Because I figure if I need it, other people may need it. What I do out there at the rodeos away from my job here as a pastor of Cowboy Church, God knows it, but I'm here to tell you everybody else is watching. You can't imagine how many times I'm offered alcohol. Matter of fact, they think I don't have money. He must not have any money, so I'm going to buy him some alcohol. And then, now that I've been living the way I live, I don't believe in the stuff. Not saying it's a sin. If you do, fine with me. It doesn't hurt my feelings a bit. It's between you and God, but not for me. If someone saw me at a restaurant with some alcohol of any kind, they would reflect me in a different way. Why? Because I'm the guy they come to when they're being abused by the stuff. I'm the one that they come to when they're trying to get off of that stuff. And the temptation of a little bit. Yeah, but Jesus, you know, turned water into wine, my friend. Come on, preacher. Listen to me. That has been taken by the enemy and used in a very negative way. Because the days that happened was nothing like the fermentation of alcohol today. It has gotten way out of hand. But again, if that could be a possible stumbling block for someone, then that's why I don't do it. Not against it if you do it. I've never been a preacher that thinks you're in sin if you drink wine or you do this or that. But I am here to tell you, that spirit that is in that mess will get on you in different ways. It'll cause you to cuss like you've never cussed at home. It'll cause you to act like you've never acted. And then just the going over just a little bit and drinking a little bit too much will mess with people. Why? Because it's a chemical that changes mind. And what does God want us to do? He wants us to have the mind of Christ. Now, there'll be people immediately say, you're trying to tamper with our business, preacher. No, I'm just trying to help you understand that in these last days, the devil is using everything to try to trip you up. How people are talking, y'all. I mean, I'm amazed that people are feeling like, you know what? If my heart is right, it doesn't matter what comes out of my mouth. No, 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 no. The Bible says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You'll be amazed the ones that use the F word at home or around, you know, their job sites when they're a believer in Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, that's got to stop because it's opening up the windows of heaven and it's confusing people. They don't even know that you're a Christian when you talk that way. And then children are hearing this stuff and they're being raised. And how many of you know children are under attack like never before by the things that they are learning at the schoolhouse? I mean, they did a big interview on college kids. And that's why I was so proud to sing that song just a little bit ago, because out of all the college kids that they interviewed about 9/11 and what does it mean, all of them, not just one, but every single one of the college kids that they interviewed did not know the impact of us believing in the greatest country in the world. Matter of fact, all of them said, yeah, there's so many flaws in our country and we need to stop talking about our country being better than someone else's country. No, you know what? When you're proud of your country because your country was founded under the principles of God Almighty, you ought to be proud to be an American. It doesn't make sense. Because I'm pretty sure they are not coming in on the southern border because they hate America and America is a bad place to live. No, they are coming to the land of the free and the home of the brave. And we've got to start living that way, y'all. Now listen to me. I repeat it again as a warning. Do not take this as guilt and condemnation. Take this as something that hopefully the Spirit of God will quicken your heart to maybe make some changes in some areas so that you have the peace of God that passes understanding, that you remain in the joy of the Lord that gives you strength, so that when you go through a trial and tribulation, you are not under the devil. You are on top of him and he is under your feet. Praise God. And your children are raised in the admonition of the Lord. They're trained up in the ways of the Lord so that they, when they get old, they won't depart from that word, because they're going to need the word today more than any other time, especially when the schools are trying to get them not to pray to their God. They're trying to get them to pray to everything else and accept all kinds of things. Listen to me. We are never going to accept sin. And I happen to be a preacher that should preach against sin. But our country, oh man, you start preaching against sin and you're deemed as meddling. You're meddling in my business. Now listen to me. If you occasionally, if you make a mistake, that is not what I'm talking about. But a mistake should be, you should turn around, change, repent, and not do it anymore. Amen. Do you realize pornography is on people like you've never seen? Don't live in guilt and condemnation. Have freedom to know that you have a resurrected power of Jesus at your disposal to come against that disease or sickness. That spirit that tries to get on people. Usually in closed doors, but remember, what's done in secret is not secret. See? Okay, so let's get some word. Let's get some word. And again, I want you to use this message to help you in areas that you struggle in. Because that's what I do. And I mean, y'all have heard my stories. I'm pretty plain. I mean, there's times when I'm not prayed up and I didn't, you know, read 6 chapters of the Bible in the morning and then drive in minding my own business. I want to whip an old man. Remember those stories? So the enemy is trying to trip all people. Don't preacher or no preacher. He's trying to get us to be defeated in all kinds of areas. And then we have been dumbed down to think, well, the way we talk, it's not that big of a deal. If I said the D word or just a little small cuss word, it's not that big of a deal. And then what people do is then they justify, yeah, but you know, brother, what if someone overeats? That's just as bad. Well, it's all not right. I'm not talking about guilt and condemnation. I'm talking about it's time we start living as justified people who were made righteous. That word righteous literally means doing what's right. Now, we're all trying to attain perfection because that's what Jesus said. That's why we're here this morning. But what I want you to really get a hold of is these sins that are willfully done can open the doors to the enemy, and we've got to be able to close it. Because I'm a pastor that cares for you, and I hope you care for me. And we've got to shut the doors that are opening up that are causing the enemy to come in and attack in those areas. You've ever gone through something just over and over and over and over, and you try to seek the Lord about it, and you ask for forgiveness, and you fail to it, and then you feel good for a short time, and then it seems like it comes back, and it's attacking you again and again and again and again. Well, that's the enemy trying to keep you defeated in that area. But man, when you start believing the Word of God and understand the power of deliverance, the power of this Word, and you start speaking to that mountain, you do it with faith and authority. That mountain, remember in Matthew that says when you speak to the mountain and command that mountain to be cast into the sea, and you don't doubt in your heart, but you believe everything you say is going to come to pass. You'll have whatsoever you say. I'm talking about that mountain, whatever it might be, that mountain has to flee from you. Now, don't think for 1 minute that the devil's not going to try to come back and attack you again. But the more you resist that devil, I'm telling you, he has to flee and seek someone else that has given him permission to come mess with them. And you and I, as believers of Jesus Christ, not guilt and condemnation because we made a mistake, have got to start understanding that there's a deeper spiritual ways that you and I need to live. And it's peculiar. And it might be called in these last days very radical. I've been dealing with it out there in the field when I'm starting to get attacked more than I've ever seen. Normally I've had lots of favor out there and they trust me and they come to me. But I'm starting to see some, and sadly, it's Christians. Sadly. They're coming against, you know, just my belief and standing. For example, against drinking. What's the big deal? I just don't do it. I've seen lots of bad things happen from it. I've done it. I've never seen any good things come from it. Ever. Especially when you drink too much. But I don't beat people up because you do it. It's up to you. But I'm in a position that I can help a lot of people if they'd listen. Because one little spirit in that area. Well, that's just the way we've always done. That's how I grew up. Well, you know what? You're in a different kingdom. We live in a different way. We live in the kingdom of God, away from the kingdom of darkness. But yet the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of the enemy is right around us, see? Okay? We better get some word. Oh, Jesus. Help me, Lord. Listen, 1 Peter chapter 2. Because people are dealing with issues of sickness and disease. And let's just begin reading. Let's just start reading out of the King James, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, all guile, hypocrisy, and envies, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believes on him, that's talking about the Lord Jesus, shall not be confounded. Unto you, verse 7, therefore, which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. I'm going to help you in a different translation understand all this. And a stone of stumbling, that's what the enemy's trying to do to all of us right now. He wants us to stumble, to fail, to be a victim, to go through this, to die of COVID-19 variant, whatever it is. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, say it with me, offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Say holy with me. That's not a bad word, y'all. It's okay to be holy, not holier than thou. But to understand who you are in Christ, praise God. Let me read it again. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into the marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God. Which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained the mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers, pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war after the soul. Look at me. What is the soul? Mind, will, emotions. That's where the battle is. Because if he can get you to start thinking that it's okay to be tempted in these areas, just as long as you don't go overboard, it's a temptation that is causing people to fall like never before. If you don't have control over your mouth, and it's just out of control. It speaks hate. It speaks negative. It's cussing. All of those things are very important. All the time. I keep saying in these days, but it's the reason I'm saying in these days is because the attacks are here and Jesus is coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle. Now let me make it funny. Because I called Ann Smith my spiritual mother. And I said, Ann, you know, she's, what is she, 80? And I mean, just she's been here, but she just hadn't been able to get out because she fell and she cut her leg and it swelled up and it keeps getting infected and we're praying over her. But anyway, I called her and I said, Ann, I know how we can get Jesus to come back quicker. Because he's coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkles. So I got to thinking, if we would have more Botox parties. Anyway, I mean, we can get those wrinkles out, praise God. Okay, never mind. That could start a doctor right there. I'm just kidding, you know. All right, listen real carefully. Got to hustle. Oh, Jesus. Look at verse 12. Having your conversation honest amongst the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may be your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so, remember, you can't miss the very first verse. Wherefore, laying aside all malice. Well, let me read it in the Amplified. So be done with every trace of wickedness, depravity, malignity, and all deceit and sincerity, pretense, hypocrisy, and grudges, envy, jealousy, and slander, and evil speaking of every kind. Be done with it. Be done with it. Okay? But if you're done with it, then he's trying to say, look, verse 15, for so is the will of God, that with well doing, with doing what's right, with understanding that you're righteous and made righteous, standing and doing right, for so is the will of God, that with well doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear. Now listen to me, don't get mixed up with when it says masters and slaves. A master is just someone that is in authority over you in something. It's kind of like this church. God gave me the authority over this church. So someone that's coming in brand new, has never been with us in 18 years, that then thinks that they know how to do things better, that we should be doing it like their church that was successful, that's getting out of order. And you don't want to do that because it won't end good for you. I mean, because then I'm going to stand, you're going to be upset, and then you're going to leave because he wouldn't, you know, get better at visitation. Okay. Anyway. All right, listen. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only the good and gentle, but also to the forward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for our conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. I mean, we're going to go through some things, right? For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, remember in the days of Jesus where priests came and they were attacking Jesus. The Bible says that they, with the open hand, there was like over a hundred priests, and they all slapped Jesus, remember? And then they buffeted him. They hit him with the backhand too, you see. All because he dared to be the Son of God. Oh man. So that's happening to all of us. Buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently, but if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable to God. Now, it's not saying that just let someone whoop you up. No, but there's times when you don't have to get all upset over someone that says nasty things about you. You know, there's a time when you just say, well, God bless them, and pray for them. Don't let it affect you, though, see. Now, look what's fixing to happen, though, because we're getting to the real good part. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin. This is the God we serve, man. Neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. Oh, here we go. Verse 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, don't let sins be alive to you, in other words, but we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we're healed. If you want to be healed, you need to understand this. I mean, here we're trying to ask people to pray for us. I was raised in a church where they had a big, long prayer list. But yet they didn't believe in healing all for all. They only believed if it was God's will. Well, if you believe that, then there's no reason or this. I was in a church one time where they believed healing went away with the old covenant. So no one got healed anymore. Well, then why would you put them on a prayer list if you didn't believe in healing? See, it doesn't make sense. But again, what is the enemy doing? Dumbing us down to accept not living righteous. Not guilt and condemnation. Not because you made a mistake back when. Don't you dare think you're not worthy. When you give your life to Jesus, you are worthy. I don't care what you've done in your past or what you did this morning. You're still worthy. You're still righteous. It's kind of like a pregnant woman. You can't be halfway pregnant. You either pregnant or you're not. Say amen to this. And I can go deeper than that. I'm telling you today, there is a difference between a man and a woman, and it's obvious. I better not go there. So I'd be preaching for a while. Listen to me. Verse 25. This is the last one. For ye were as sheep going astray, but now are returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your souls. I'm saying today, guys, it's time we start living right. And I'm not saying you're going to be perfect. I'm just saying there's things in our life that we've allowed. We have just decided that, you know, I'm under God's mercy. All fall short of the glory of God. And we use that as an excuse to not start talking correctly. What are we watching? All the things that are coming into our heart are coming out of our mouths. Yeah, man, it's going to take some dedication. I don't have time to. If you have time, you can go and Google or get the Passion Translation. It's really, really good in 1 Peter chapter 2. Read the whole part of the Passion Translation, but for lack of time, and we're going to baptize some people. I can't wait. It's going to be so fun. But for lack of time, I'm not going to read it out of the Passion, but you should. Today is a day where we got to start knowing who we are in Christ. Now, I'm talking to people that are born again, right? I'm talking to me. I'm talking, you know, if there's things, and I ask the Lord a lot, if there's things that are causing me to not to walk in victory like I should, man, I want to change them. Preacher or no preacher. I want to see people live in victory, and when they call me and say, hey, I'm under attack, doctor said I had only 6 months to live, I want to see those people rise up under the power of God. And I've seen it many, many times. Yeah, but why does so-and-so die? Well, according to their faith. Maybe they wanted to go to heaven. I know people that are giving up right now. I'm saying, though, if you want to keep living in today's day and you want to stop getting attacked, it's time we live right. It's time the things that we have not allowed for God to intervene in, it's time we let him start intervening. And it may be a process, y'all. I'm not saying it's going to happen today. I mean, you've worked for lots of years to get that stuff into your vocabulary, and it may take a little bit to get it out. You know how long it took me to stop saying good luck? Good luck. Good luck. I said it so much growing up because that's what everybody else says. Then when I found revelation that they used to call the devil, oh, lucky. Because you can't have it. When you have luck, you got to have good and bad because there's both. But you and I are blessed. Have you ever heard of a bad blessing? That doesn't make sense, right? So I stopped saying good luck, and I say, you can do it. Be blessed today. You got this. All it was is training my vocabulary to talk different. If you're a cusser, because that's what you're around a lot, it's going to take some effort to stop talking that way. But you can do it. Come on. Your children are listening to you, and they're going to be saying the same things that you say. What you put in your body, they're watching you. Believers are watching you because they're thinking, my Lord, he's an usher. And he's talking that trash. He's talking that way. And you've got the old patch on your... And I'm not talking this has happened to any of our ushers, but that's really what they see. When you have that Coors Light at the table and you've got that usher on, they don't see that that's moderately drinking. They see a reflection of Williamson County Cowboy Church in your life. And then someone that's stumbling, oh, praise God. Well, then, I believe it's okay for me. And then, man, the enemy attacks. And before you know it, they're in trouble. I mean, I've had to deal with so many getting DWIs. And again, don't take this as guilt and condemnation. But if you got peace about that part of your life, praise God. But if it could be a stumbling block to allow the enemy to come in and attack, get rid of it, y'all. We're a peculiar people, and when Jesus comes back, he's coming back for you and I. And I want him to say, well done. Well done. Well done. Well done, my brother. Well done, man. You're an awesome man of God. You're a wonderful woman of God. But see, that's where my heart is. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, first of all, thank you. Thank you. Thank you that you're a gracious God. You are full of mercy. And sir, you're not a God of guilt and condemnation. That's why I believe you want me to say that over and over. There's things in my life, sir, that you know about that maybe other people don't know about. But if you know about it, then I want to change it if it's not right. So Father, help me. Help me, sir. And Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you are merciful and forgiving. When we do fall, you're so gracious that we just have to just say, God, forgive me. And then you don't even remember the sin. But yes, we do. Because we have a mind, we have a soul. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, for this message, for me, if not for anybody else, that what's done in secret is not secret. So, Father, help us in these days to live as an anointed man and woman of God that you call us sons and daughters. You're our Father, sir. So help us. Help us in Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here and you don't know Jesus, then none of this is going to make much sense to you. Because he's the access to becoming righteous. I'm talking about just doing what's right. He's the access of going to heaven and not hell. Listen to me. There's two places. I'm trying to get people to heaven. The devil is trying to get people to hell. It's a very bad place. Oh, Jesus. Hell is. But heaven, oh, it's so wonderful. But listen to me. We should have heaven here on earth. That's why it's time to start living right. Are you going to be talking and doing stuff like this in heaven? Well, obviously not. So why would you do a lot of stuff you do here, knowing you would not dare do it in the presence of Jesus? So this is a message this morning that hopefully you'll grab a hold of and start allowing God, maybe one little area at a time. That's what it took for me. Oh, Jesus. Just one area at a time to let Him deal and fix and mend that one area. And it might be as simple as gossip. It might be as simple as just a little lying spirit. I guess that's not simple, but it's pretty dangerous. Maybe it's just anger. I just get angry a lot over stupid things. Well, that, you don't talk about destroys marriages. Miscommunication. Maybe there's just issues that, man, we can get better in if we got our love walk perfected and knew who we are in Christ. So the access is through Jesus. Do you know Him? If you died and left this earth, would you stand in front of God and Him say, well done, come on into heaven, the rest, the joy of the Lord, heaven? Or do you not know what He'll say? If you don't know, you need to get saved this morning. If you don't know where you would go, heaven or hell, you need to get saved this morning. So what we're going to do is we're going to pray a prayer. When we pray this prayer, all the believers in here are going to pray it with you. But when you pray this prayer, Romans 10:9, that says if you'll confess Jesus with your mouth that He's Lord and believe that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. And that's the first start of your walk in Christ Jesus. Jesus becomes the Lord, the Savior of your life. Have you ever done that? If you haven't, do it right now. If there's anyone at the sound of my voice watching or live here in the audience that doesn't know where they're going when they leave this earth, heaven or hell, make heaven your destination right now by praying this prayer. All of us are going to pray it, but I want you to pray it out loud. You ready? Out of your mouth, say this. I'm talking to people that's never been born again, and you don't know what would happen to you if you died. All the believers, we're going to pray it with you. Ready? Out of your mouth, say this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is my Lord. Jesus, come into my life. Save me. Forgive me of all my sins. This day is my God day because Jesus Christ is my Lord. I'm not fighting that any longer. There is a place that we go when we leave this earth, and I'm going to heaven and not hell. And I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. With no one looking around, just out of respect of God, your neighbor, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time and you gave your life to Jesus, I want to celebrate it with you, and I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. I'm not going to ask you to get up. I'm going to ask you right where you're at, if you just prayed that prayer and you meant it and you gave Jesus your life this morning, I want you at the count of three to raise your hand straight up. And you're doing it with boldness. You're saying, I just asked Jesus to come into my life and I'm coming to heaven when I leave this earth. If that was you, get that hand up at three with boldness in Jesus' name. Jesus was never ashamed to die for you. Please don't be ashamed of Him. Get that hand up at three. Ready? One, two, three, go. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. Anybody else? Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Look at me, everybody. A lot of times, man, people are still fighting it because they like this life better than this life. And we're going to keep trying to convince them that this life in Christ Jesus is way better. Way, would y'all agree with that? So, allow this message to minister to you. I hope you received it by faith out of love. And let's live right. Amen? And then we're going to keep being brothers and sisters. Y'all that gave your life to Jesus, you're my brother and sister in Christ. I need help. If you're my family, I need some help. But if you need help, you got a big family. Amen? Did y'all have a good time this morning? Amen. All right. Would you bring that? We're going to go, anybody that's getting baptized, if you'll go get, if there are kids, go get them. Go ahead and get them ready. If you're getting baptized, we're going to go right to the water baptism to baptize people that's been born again. And it's going to be a blast. Before we do that, this is the last offering that we're going to take up for the Strock family. Everything that comes in this bucket here is going to go, I think, man, God really blessed them. But how many of you know they're going to need some help? I mean, he's got, I think there were five daughters, is that right? Four children. And now, you know, they lost one of the daughters and the mother. And so Mr. Schrock's going to have, he's going to need us. And I'm not saying they're church going people, I don't know. But what I do know is they're part of our community. And when we ask him to come and help us with the air conditioning, he shoots over here. Half the time he don't even charge us. And him and his dad are a blessing, and they need some help. So everything that comes in this middle box is going to go straight to them. And we took an offering up last week. I wanted to take up one when I'm here as well. And let's be a blessing to him. Amen. And so just as we dismiss, I want you to give to them. And then I want you to quietly, if you don't mind, because I think baptism is very, very important. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of the new you in Christ. If you've never been baptized and you in Jesus is Lord, you got to get baptized. It's the first act of obedience after salvation. Because it's like communion, y'all. You're remembering going under that water, the death and the burial, just like Jesus did. And then when you come up, it's the resurrection of not you unsaved, you saved. And so if you've never been baptized, you need to. We do it once a month. And so we're going to baptize, and I can't wait. Amen. Stand to your feet, and we'll be dismissed. Love you guys very much. Pray for me. I fly to Pendleton in the morning. Then I get to, after Pendleton, the season is pretty much over. There's just three rodeos left. And praise God, lots of ministry has been done out there, and it's been good, but I'm ready to be home. So, Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for just everything you're doing in the lives of these people. And Father, I just thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, you're so wonderful. And Father, I'm not a scared preacher that wants to just preach milk. It's time to preach meat. It's time to preach meat. I mean, we're being attacked today. Marriages are under attack. Children and dads and moms are responsible for what they say and what they do in front of their children. So help us, Lord. I need it. I need to walk the examples in front of my children, sir. So, Father, thank you, Lord. I received this message if no one else did, and I give you praise for it. God, thank you for the two that gave their lives to you. God, thank you. They're now my brother and sister in Christ. And so we're here to help the people that want to join this church. Father, just thank you, Lord, for as we do that next month, that, Father, they want to be planted in a church like this. And if not, find them a great Bible-believing church. Now, as we go and baptize, sir, I thank you, Lord, that it's just going to be done in obedience. As we come to give to the Schrock family, God bless them. Bless them. I know they're hurting. But, Father, we're here to comfort them. And I know you are the Holy Ghost. So bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Give God a big round of applause. You're dismissed. Love you, love you, love you.